Welcome back, Chris. I decided that she's not going to go away. She's still here, which means she's back! And being able to sit down lets us just go straight on into the show and say, let's go!
Thank you. Two, one, two, three, nine. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, we are indeed not just pleased. We are thrilled to be back here with you tonight. Thank you, Perry! This is a place that both Stevie and I have spent a good deal of time in, both together and separately. Kind of feels like a second home. So it is good to be back. You know, we are a group of people, a band that has somehow managed to keep evolving, to keep growing, and really to prevail through the good times and the bad. I think that's a lot of what makes us what we are as a band, and probably as individuals as well. And really, especially in this moment, this particular moment now, with the return of the beautiful Christine. With her return, I think it's safe to say that we begin a profound, a poetic, beautiful, and really prolific new chapter in the history of this band, Fleetwood Mac. Thank you.
Ha ha ha!
Thank you.
Thank you.
This next song is one that was a single from the album called Tango in the Night. And though it's not as old as some songs, it feels like really a different lifetime because it was right at the end of 'cause it was right at the end of, for me, I pulled back and made a few adjustments after recording this album and producing this album, because things, you know, the way we were living our life was becoming, shall we say, challenging. Doing what we thought we had to do, I guess. If you look at the lyric of this song, it does describe the person I was back then pretty well. It's someone who was well defended, who had emotional boundaries around their life. And I think we all did that to some degree, or thought we had to, in order to deal with the tasks that were before us. Happily, with the passage of time, that description really has just become an echo. And so I guess for me, whereas it began as a kind of contemplation on alienation, perhaps, it has now become more a meditation on the power and the importance of change. Thank you.
This is my dedication song. It was written in 1973. And you know, I was in Phoenix, like Vinny said, we were here both many, many, many times. And I actually lived here for 20 years in my own house. And I have many regrets now that I sold that house, because I really seriously miss coming home here to write and to just be here at the Camelback Mountain and amongst all of you. That being said, I would like to dedicate this song, first of all, to my dad, because he's always here, to my brother Christopher and Jessica, to Jesse, to Chris and Lisa, to Corey and Linda, to Catherine and Richard, to Bo and Bess, to Timothy, to all of my friends that live here, and all of my friends really that are just you, because this is, in a way, our hometown. A lot of our songs are written here. And very special.
Afraid of changing, 'cause I
1975. There was a time in Fleetwood Mac when this remarkable young couple came to join the band. They were the Elenics and Lindsay Buckingham. And this was the first single from the first album that we made, this configuration of people made together. I'd like to play for you now.
Thank you.
I was 17 and he was 16. And I was a senior and he was a junior. And I met him once, and then I didn't see him again for 2 years, so till the end of my first 2 years in junior college. So he and his band called me and asked me, would I like to join the band, their band? And I said, well, yes, I would. And so I did. And this band that they had was really, really a good band. And so we went into practice, and like 5 days a week practice. I was going to school. They were not, so they didn't care about my school. And but my parents were supporting me, so this is very good. So we made really good money, and we opened for all of the biggest bands in San Francisco. And in our opinion, San Francisco was the place to be. It was the most magical, it was the mecca of music. It was Woodstock, it was, you name it, it was there, and we did it. So anyway, we opened for, not bragging, kinda, but we opened for Jimi Hendrix, 75,000 people at Santa Fe Fairgrounds. Even my parents were completely crazy. We opened for Santana and Carmel Monterey record for Woodstock. We opened for Janis Joplin at Frosch Amphitheater, Chicago University. We opened for Chicago at Fillmore West when they had the Who's Coming to the World album. And we opened for, well, we were stuck in Lodi with Creedence Clearwater. And we really were stuck in Lodi, in Lodi. So, knowing all this, I was making pretty darn good money, and my parents did not make me put it in a savings account, they just let me have it. So I saved it up because I heard this rumor that there was this amazing store in downtown San Francisco called the Velvet Underground. And this is where all the rock and roll women that were famous and had any money got their clothes for stage. So I saved up my money for probably 2 months, and I buzzed up there in my quarter Mazda spider convertible, candy apple red, black interior car that my dad bought for me because he wanted it. 5-speed, right? I'm so sure. So I learned to drive it, up I went, I find this store, and I go in and I think it's going to be this big, huge store. It's not. It's a really tiny store. I walk in, it has this beautiful painted floor, which I've never seen since, and I'm standing there looking at these beautiful things going, I can't afford anything here. And there's nobody in the store, just me. And I'm thinking, huh. But I am standing right where probably Janis Joplin has stood, and where Janis's friend Grace Slick has stood, and probably all those bands that belong to those girls have stood. And so I'm having like a little seizure premonition. And I'm feeling like, oh my God, I can't afford anything here, but something is coming and I am going to be able to walk in the store and buy anything I want and not look at the price tag. Oh no! So what I want to tell you is, what I saw was this. I saw Fleetwood Mac. I thought this was going to make a Lindsay. And I felt that power, and I felt it coming. And I walked out of that store knowing that everything was different. So I'm back to the Velvet Underground, back to the floor that I know, back to a room with some lace and some paper flowers, back to the gypsy that I was. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Stay with her! Match fire was had by all. Ladies and gents, on stage sharing the evening with us here in Phoenix. As they come to you, make them all extremely welcome here tonight. Starting on background vocals, Miss Sharon Salani. Miss Sebi Alexander. Miss Alori Nitz. On my right, on guitar and vocals, Mr. Neil Haywood. And right next to Neil, on keyboards, guitar, and of course vocals, Mr. Brett Otago. Have noticed that this particular man on my left has not left the stage if but for 30 seconds tonight, not my last punch. Yes indeed. Our musical mentor, a man with a vision ahead, and for my money, one hell of a brilliant guitar player, Mr. Lindsay Buckingham. Eternal romantic, our poet, the magical Miss Stevie Nicks. Performance, but truly, again, celebrating this lovely lady sharing Fleetwood Mac stage once again, making this complete. Our songbird has returned. Miss Christine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. That means a lot to me. Very special. Thank you.
I know it's wrong.
So I get to have this little moment with you at the end because I'd like to tell you what has happened here. Because you know that we toured last year, we did 66 shows, and in October, I was in, I keep thinking the scarves are there. In October, I'm in Italy, I'm on my way to Dublin to start our European tour, and I get a phone call in Italy. I don't know anybody there, and I answer it hello, and it's like, it's Chris, and she goes, who do you think is going to start to come back to Dublin? And I said, seriously, Chris, you've been gone for 16 years. 16 years. My dog, my little dog, the love of my life, is 16. You've been gone for her entire lifetime. And she goes, well, what do you think? And I said, I think it's your band. And if you want to come back, then you should just like, come on back. However, you might want to come to Dublin and watch this show because it's a long, difficult, physical 3-hour show. So you might want to test it out before you jump back in, because once you come back, you can never leave. It's like, you know, Hotel California. So she did, and then I said to her, and you might want to get a trainer. She did. She hired a trainer, and she's been working out every day since February. So proud, so proud. So anyway, I want you to know that I think that what happened is that the communal fans of Fleetwood Mac got up one day last October and at the same time said to the universe, we think it's time for Chris to come back. And it went into the universe, and the universe conspires to make things happen when you throw it up in the universe. And it did, and she heard it, and she came back, and we got our girl back. And I think that's because you have magical, magical power. So knowing that, now that you've been in the venue, knowing you have magical powers, I thank you for that. Because we so wanted her to come back, and we're so happy that we got our girl back. So, bless all of you, and take a little bit of credit, because you deserve it. And Phoenix, I'm so sorry I don't live here anymore. I love you all. You've been great. You've been awesome. An awesome audience. Thank you.
We have had it. Something so unbelievably special for this crazy band. We can't do this without you guys and girls here all over the world. We love you so very much. Thank you. And never an evening. Never some crazy afternoon in the middle of a field in Texas or Australia or Hyde Park or somewhere odd. Do we leave the stage without saying the following from us in Fleetwood Mac? Take care of yourselves, and in this extremely crazy world we seem to be living in, be so very kind to one another. We do love you so very much. And remember, the Mac is most definitely.